We're going to see that there are those who would defraud you of your prize, would rip you off, spiritually speaking, and they're deliberately doing it. And yet God is a gracious God who warns us. He doesn't want our faith to be shipwrecked. We're cruising along, trusting the Lord, and we hit the reef.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we get back to our study in Colossians, and we'll continue to look at a warning from God that's for our good.
Yes, we will, Dave. And what we're going to see today is the beginning of a very important portion of Scripture in which we're going to see that God does not want us to be defrauded of our prize. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 18 and 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, have you ever been ripped off? Have you ever been defrauded? You know, you look at the internet scams these days. There's all kinds of ripoff artists out there trying to rip off people with false computer stuff. Your computer's broken, call Microsoft, whatever it is, and they rip you off. Or you buy something that you think is one thing and you find out later it isn't what you thought, that the seller was dishonest and you got ripped off. A lot of these things, there are people out there that will actually warn you about them, but we didn't hear the warning or we ignored the warning. Now, the reality is when we experience those things, there are those out there who will say, hey, don't do that, don't do that, you're going to get ripped off. Don't deal with that person, don't deal with that company, you're going to get ripped off. Well, in the spiritual sphere, there are those who would also rip us off too. We're going to see that there are those who would defraud you of your prize, would rip you off, spiritually speaking, and they're deliberately doing it. And yet God is a gracious God who warns us. He doesn't want our faith to be shipwrecked. We're cruising along, trusting the Lord, and we hit the reef. Because we didn't look at the charts and we hit it. We didn't listen to what we should have listened to. And God is gracious to warn us because he loves us. And so we're going to see today how to keep from shipwrecking our faith in Jesus. Would you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2? And in Colossians chapter 2 that we have been studying, we've been studying the book of Colossians. And within this, the Apostle Paul, he is under house arrest in Rome. He has never personally visited them. He doesn't know them personally, but he knows them through people and through letters. And he has received the word from Epaphras. He's received the word that these Colossians have trusted in Jesus Christ. And the manifest from that is the love for the saints, and he's praising God for that. But he's also received the word that there were threats to their faith. There were those attempting to delude them, chapter 2, verse 4, with persuasive arguments. There were those desiring to carry them off as booty, like being kidnapped, chapter 2, verse 8. There were those who were coming along and sharing things that maybe they would think would help them in their walk with Jesus, but actually they wouldn't. They would defraud them, as we'll see today. You see, when you come to faith in Jesus, you want to follow the Lord, and you grieve over when you fail, and we do fail. But we know if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, and we step forward again wanting to follow him. But within that, there are those who would come along with means or ways to subtly divert you away from trusting in Christ, but still thinking you're spiritual. And from that, you're going to be, as we will see today, defrauded. So the Apostle Paul is writing back these Colossians concerning these threats. And what is his answer to it? Chapter 1, a focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator. He is the Lord of the first creation. Through him and by him, all things are created. He is the Lord of the new creation. He's the head of the church. It's through him shedding his blood for us that we have forgiveness of sins, that we might be presented holy and blameless. It's through Jesus Christ that we have salvation. And then the Apostle Paul, in the latter portion of chapter 1, begins to explain what genuine ministry by his own example looks like, versus the false ministry, which he's going to address in chapter 2, which we're looking at. We saw in chapter 1 that genuine ministry has God's men proclaiming God's word. They're not hirelings. They're not those who've decided to do it on their own. They've been called and gifted by God. Think about the Apostle Paul. He wasn't on his way to seminary to be a pastor. He was on his way to persecute Christians when God called him. He called him out of that, and he saved him, and he said, this is what you're going to do, Paul. And when he saves us, he gives us different giftings, and in his word tells us, this is what you're going to do. We don't choose that. God, by his Spirit, chooses how we serve him. So God's ministers are just that, God's ministers. And we also saw in genuine ministry, and this is wonderful for us because we're just starting this church, it's a baby church. We need to have these foundations as we grow. Secondly, we saw that God's ministry proclaims Christ. The message is Christ. The message is Jesus Christ through his word. He says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we may present every man complete in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, I do this that I might fully proclaim the word of God. So it's Christ proclaimed through the word, and then it's Christ proclaimed his way. He says, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we represent every man, that's men and women, complete in Christ. God's word going forth to God's people to make them more like Jesus. That's how God grows us up. We're going to see that. And then he goes into chapter 2 sharing his concern, how he strives and struggles for them and his concern about that. And as I've mentioned before, there were those attempting to delude them, chapter 2, verse 4, with persuasive arguments. But Paul says, hey, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I say this, that no one would delude you with persuasive arguments or deceive you. There are those who have very persuasive religious arguments that can deceive true believers into being pulled away so subtly from Christ, so subtly where you're starting to rely on other things than Jesus himself. It's very subtle. And so he says, you know, see to it that no one takes you captive. You see, as we have received Christ Jesus, we're to walk in him. When we received him, we didn't receive him, as we'll see today, through an experience. We received him by faith, which was obviously an experience in that context, but we received him by faith. And we're to walk the same way. We're to walk by faith. We don't walk by sight or experience. We walk by faith. And so the Apostle Paul is warning them, and we came to the first portion where he began to share that because of who Christ is, God in human flesh, and what he has done for us, in him we are complete, and we have a complete salvation. In Christ, our sins have been nailed to the cross, obliterated. Praise the Lord. Because of that, therefore, we shouldn't allow people to religiously, as we saw it last week, to religiously judge us. In that, they put peer pressure on us to follow a system. And we saw last week that system was the Old Testament ripped out of its context, trying to be placed on New Testament believers to follow these do's and don'ts there, which were just shadows pointing to the reality, the substance is Christ. And so we saw, therefore, don't let that happen. In light of Jesus being God and you being in him complete, don't let it happen. That was the first thing that could shipwreck your faith, that those legalistic things that you do from the word. Someone twists it. Hey, you want to be God? Look at this. It's from the word of God. You got to do it. They twist it. Rather take the shadows and make them primary. I gave the example of how dishonoring it would be if I was walking along with my wife, Hillary, and I had a picture of her, and I was ignoring her, and I was just looking at the picture talking to her. That's the shadow. That's not the truth. The real person is here. When you focus on the shadow, you dishonor and you separate yourself from the reality. And so then, that was the first thing that could shipwreck our faith. And then today, we're going to get into the second thing that can shipwreck our faith. Turn with us to Colossians chapter 2. And I want to back up, and I'm going to read basically what I've kind of been summarizing here and walk into our passage, okay? Chapter 2, verse 3, he says, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? That's Christ. He says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your, notice this, faith in Christ. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, We received him by faith, we walk by faith, and that's how we're built up. He says, just as you were instructed through the Word of God, he says here, an overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. These are the warnings that we shouldn't be taken captive. You know, first it says, warning, don't deal with that guy. He'll sell you a bad car. He'll rip you off. We want to listen to the warnings, right? God is saying, hey, see to it that no one takes you captive. And so he says here, captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus Christ is God. And in him you've been complete. You have everything you need in Jesus. And he is the head over all rule and authority. He's over all the demons. He's way above all your spiritual enemies in that context. And in him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. We talked about that. Not the removal of the body of, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That was an inward circumcision where God took away the hard heart and we're able to relate to him now. He dealt with our sin on the cross, you see? And so here he says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Hey, we were united to Christ. We saw that. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions. Praise the Lord. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. They've been obliterated. That's what that word means. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And then we saw the first thing that would shipwreck our faith last week. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, respect to festival, new moon, or Sabbath day, things which were a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And now our passage. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and in the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen inflated without cause in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. So, things that can shipwreck your faith. This is the second of three things. And as I mentioned, it all hinges on this word here that we see back in verse 16, therefore, in light of the fact that Jesus is God, in light of the fact that in him you are complete, in light of the fact that in him you have a complete salvation, your sins nailed to the cross, it's all through Christ, in light of the fact that as we have received him, we are to so walk in him, in light of the fact that we're not to let anyone take us captive, in light of the fact that we are not to be deluded by persuasive arguments, therefore don't let this happen to you. And so we see in this context that we're not to be taken captive. In the context, first, as we saw last week, through the shadows. I'm not going to reshare. I've shared a little bit about it already. But there are evil men and imposters who come and they take pieces of the Old Testament out of their context. And they try to say, this is what you need to do to be right with the Lord Jesus. And they do it in a way where they're judgmental. Spiritually judgmental. You should be doing this. And they judge you because you're not as spiritual as they are or doing the things that they're doing. And he says, in light of Christ being everything and having complete salvation, don't let anyone judge you. Don't let them put that pressure on you to do those things. They were just a shadow. They're the shadows. They're not the reality. Don't let them do that. The substance belongs to Christ. And we looked at all those things, how each one of those Old Testament things pointed to the realities of what Christ has done for us. He is our salvation rest. He's our Sabbath rest. We see that. We celebrate the Sabbath every day as we rest in Jesus Christ. We've rested from our works. We trust in Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we see it in all those other pictures that point to Jesus that are fulfilled. So don't let anyone judge you. We saw that last week. And now we're going to see that we're not to let anyone defraud us. We're not to let anyone rip us off spiritually. To rip us off. And I talked about that. You know, when you get ripped off, you feel pretty bad. You realize you got burned. Now, some people are going to realize that when they face the Lord, they're going to realize they got ripped off, that they spent their whole lives thinking they were falling and growing in the relationship with Christ when they weren't, when they were stagnant because they were being defrauded. Don't let that happen to you. So our passage, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. And he's going to talk about two ways they do it, by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, and taking his stand in visions he has seen, inflated without cause in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. As I mentioned before, this command here, as we'll see, is connected to the therefore back in verse 15. Therefore, in light of everything God has done for you in Christ, because in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, he is fully God and fully man, and he died for your sins and brought a complete salvation. You're complete in him because you're in Christ. Don't let this happen. And so here, the same therefore applies to this portion. Don't let it happen. Therefore, don't let this happen, or we're going to see, stop it from happening. So here, we see the second command that we are to obey. When God says a command, it's for us to obey. Now, if you are abiding in Jesus, his commandments are not burdensome. Oh, they're a burden when we're sinning. I tell you right now, you can't obey God in your sin, and it's a burden. But when you confess your sin, get right with the Lord, and just his commands aren't burdensome. You trust Jesus. He gives us the strength to do it. So here's the first command in our passage today. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. The term, keep defrauding you of your prize, that phrase, keep defrauding you of your prize, is actually one word in Greek. And it literally speaks of an umpire in the games or in some contest who negatively and wrongly decides against you and defrauds you of that prize in the race. Basically, he rules the wrong way and defrauds you of the prize in the race. Now, certainly, Paul is using this metaphor of a race. We see the Christian life. It's a race. It's a race from start to finish. Take, for instance, Hebrews chapter 12. You can turn if you want to. It's relayed as if it's an athletic contest, and that metaphor. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, not saying there's a bunch of people in heaven looking down saying, go Greg, go Greg. What he's saying is they're the testifiers in chapter 11, those who have by faith endured. That's the testifiers. They endured by faith. Abraham, all that goes through those people. He says, therefore, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, that's weights, and the sin that so easily entangles us, that's unbelief in the context of Hebrews, and let us what? Run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's the Christian life. It's trusting Jesus. He lays it before us through his word, what we're to do. He puts it out there for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Christian life is like a race. It's shared that way because you have to be disciplined. You got to think about it. You just walk along, living your life. Christian life is a race, and there's a goal. And we know that because of Christ that we've been saved. But in that, we're being sanctified right now. We're being made more like Jesus, and we're on our way to glory. And within that, it's likened to a race. A race that we can get distracted, we can be weighed down, we can be pulled off of, or, as we'll see, disqualified, or lose our prize. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul talks about he doesn't want to be disqualified. He uses the idea of an athletic contest, of being disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Everybody runs. If you're in the race, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do that to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, this is his own personal illustration. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body, make it my slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself might be disqualified. So we can be disqualified through our own failures and sin. God's faithful. He forgives us, right? But Paul was talking about as someone who is preaching and leading in that context. But the reality is, we can be defrauded. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, Christ is the cornerstone and we are built upon him. And how are we built up? Jesus gave the illustration in Matthew chapter 7 about the house built on the rock. He says, he who hears my words and does them is like someone who built his house on the rock, and the storms came or anything and it didn't fall down, right? He who hears my words and doesn't do them is like one who built on the sand. Hey, they're still building. But the storms came and everything came and it knocked that house down, and great was its fall. It has to do with our response to the word of God. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There are rewards and lack of rewards. What we do in this life as we trust Jesus is important. There's great reward in the context of faith. All these difficulties we're going through, is God not so unjust as to reward us? When we trust him, of course he's just. He's going to reward us. Hebrews chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, that's speaking of Paul, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Now, how did he lay it? The word of God. He's an apostle. He says here, and another is building upon it. He says, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hey, that's how we're saved. We're being built on him, right? Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet is through fire. If you allow yourself to be built up in your Christian faith through things that are not of Christ and his word, you're going to suffer loss. If your Christian walk, as we will see, is based on being built up through emotion and experience, you're going to suffer loss. Rather than being built up through God's word, being built upon the foundation, Jesus Christ, all in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, I'll read this for you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You go, oh, yikes. I thought my sins were obliterated. Yes, they were. Praise the Lord. No more dealing with sin, but what we do now is going to be judged for rewards or lack of rewards. It's eternal rewards. That means they last forever. And if you lose them, that means you lose them forever. So what you could be defrauded of is pretty serious. It's not simply your computer being taken over by a hacker in India. It's much worse than that. It's eternal. You'll be defrauded. So don't let anyone disqualify you from the prize. Deprive you of spiritual reward. Eliminate you from the race. Sidetrack you from the good fight of faith. Don't let it happen, Paul says, and God says that to us. You see, if we live the Christian life by dependence and trust in Christ alone and his word working in our hearts, what will manifest will bring about eternal reward.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we've just gotten through a review of what we've seen in our previous studies in Colossians chapter 2. But this review is crucial for understanding our passage and the rest of chapter 2.
Yes, we have, Dave, and we've begun to see that we are being told not to allow anyone to defraud us of our prize. Well, what does that mean? Well, you need to tune in for the next two broadcasts, because this is absolutely crucial that we learn and understand what God is saying here, because so many people out there in churches are defrauding believers of their prize. But what do I mean by that? You're going to need to tune in tomorrow for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.